By request, let's sing number 337. Has to be in our hardcovered book, doesn't it? 337. Singing number 337, Sweet Peace.
There comes to my heart one sweet strain, a glad and a joyous refrain. I sing it again and again. Sweet peace, a gift of God's love.
337. Should have caught that. It's been changed in some of our books. Through Christ on the cross, peace was made. Has to rhyme with paid. Anyway, peace is mine also. That's not a problem. We used to sing this in our Ridgewood choir, and our choir director, Dominic, used to make sure that we pronounce peace and not peas. This is not the vegetarian's theme song, Sweet Peas, the gift of God's love. It's Sweet Peace. How wonderful is the peace of God. A young lady requested that this morning. I'm always impressed by the songs that people request. How is it that that song is precious to them? How is it that God spoke to them through that song? And sometimes it surprises you, the songs that they choose or the songs they say are their favorites. Sometimes my daughter tells me, you know, we were singing that song, and my friend poked me and said, oh, I'm so glad I was waiting to sing that song. And I'm a little surprised. I didn't even know she knew the song, much less liked it. You know, God is doing wonderful things in people's lives. He doesn't always, it's not always so obvious on the outside right away. But, you know, just knowing Jesus and knowing how much he loves us and how greatly he desires us, it's right to expect that. Shouldn't surprise us that God is answering prayer, that God is working desire in hearts, that God is giving light to our young people and older ones as well. And so I'm glad that this song was requested, and I trust that the gift of peace will be ministered to our sister this morning and to all of us as we sing. That sweet peace that passes all understanding. It's a gift of God's love. 337, verse 3. Here we go.
When Jesus says, Lord, I had crowned, my heart with this peace did abound. In him the rich blessing. Wonderful gift. gift of God's love. In Jesus for peace I abide.
Lord, we thank you for that sweet peace, the gift of your love. Lord, you made peace through your cross that we might have peace with God. His anger is turned away, and now he comforts me because of what Jesus accomplished on Calvary for me. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that comes into our hearts as we experience the forgiveness of sins, the removal of our guilt and shame. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that comes into our hearts when we acknowledge that you are our Heavenly Father and that you love us with an everlasting love and you take good care of us, that you have our best interest at heart only. And, Father, that all the things that you allow in our lives have purpose. We thank you for the peace that comes in the midst of a trial when we know that you're with us right there. And you're going to strengthen us and enable us to get through that trial. And you're going to bring us safely over to the other side and onto higher ground than we were before. You'll teach us precious lessons. You'll make wonderful changes in our hearts. You'll come to us in new ways that we've never experienced while things were running so smoothly in our lives. And our lives will be more greatly enriched in Christ because of that. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we can have peace this morning as we consider even the condition of the world, Lord, and things that threaten us as a nation. But we thank you that we can put everything into your hands and know that you will watch over and care for your own, and that you go before us, Lord, and you lead the way. And so we receive that peace this morning. If there are any that are troubled here today, even the children, Lord, troubled about a home situation, troubled about some person in their life, troubled about whatever it may be, Jesus, we pray that they will find peace in you, in our relationship with you. You are our peace, Lord. And as we come closer to you, your peace fills our hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's also sing, "When peace like a river attends my soul, it is well with my soul." That's number 316, 316. Thank you.
praise God, hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord wants us to leave Pilgrim Camp and be able to say, it's well with my soul. Maybe you weren't able to say that when you first came up. Maybe that's why you came up, because it wasn't well with your soul. I remember I was living in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and I was going through a struggle. Some things were happening, and I wasn't handling it all that well, I'm sure. And I got away for a little while, and I remember driving to Pilgrim Camp. I wanted to get to camp. I needed to get to God. Now, of course, we can get to God anywhere, but sometimes we need a little extra help. So why not avail yourself of it if it's there? And I knew that if I got to camp, that I'd get myself into an atmosphere where people were in faith and where the Lord was near, and it was easier to touch him, so it seemed. I knew there'd be people that would pray for me and encourage me and listen to me. And I just remember driving up that northway, you know, trying not to speed. Wanting, it's sort of like running to your city of refuge. You know those stories in the Bible where those that killed somebody, maybe accidentally, and now their life was in danger of experiencing revenge from the family. If they could get to that city of refuge, they would be safe there. And I can see them, you know, running to that city, pushing and desperately trying to reach the gate of that city where they could rest and be safe. Well, that's how I felt about going to Pilgrim Camp sometimes. Maybe you've felt that way this year. But you know, when we get here and we get our eyes on the Lord and we begin to open our hearts to him, oh, he begins to work in our souls. You know, the most precious work of God is on the inside. And it's not him solving our problem, it's solving us. And we find that as we spend time in his presence day by day, seeking him, taking advantage of opportunities to do so, that we find that God begins to make adjustments in our soul. And then we go back home, and maybe the situation hasn't changed, but we've changed. And we found that that was the problem all along. It was in me. We couldn't see that before. But now things are different because I'm different. Because Jesus has made it well with my soul. And once your soul is in tune with the Lord, then he can give you wisdom as to how to deal with your situation better and can help make changes there as well, according to his will. But whether the changes are made or not, the change that took place in your soul is the most important thing. And I suppose we've come to understand that. It's what God is doing in my life. That's even more important than what's happening around me. And that's where the emphasis needs to always be. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus doesn't want to only reign over your circumstances, but he wants to reign in your heart. And that's so precious that he loves us like that. And he wants to be our king and take the government of our life upon his shoulder. He wants to carry the burden of your life, and we can invite him to do so. And so I trust that the Lord is coming to you in the days that you've been here. I trust that we're taking advantage of opportunity to seek him. You know, when you have a few moments, do you ever think about getting into that prayer room or picking up the Bible? I know you are probably in more meetings every day than you usually are at home, for sure. And so you think, well, why do I need to pick up the Bible in the afternoon? I'm picking it up in the morning and at night. I'm getting plenty of the Bible. And I'm getting plenty of prayer. And I'm getting plenty of time to worship the Lord. Well, that's true. But you know, the Lord takes special notice when you make a very personal effort. Lord, I'm in meeting this morning because I'm supposed to be, of course. And perhaps you want to be. That's even better. And tonight, you'll be here again. And this afternoon, you'll be here at staff prayer meeting at 4:15. Yeah, 4:15 till 4:45, we have staff prayer. And you'll be there and you'll be praying out, because that's what we do at staff prayer meeting. We pray out loud and pray for the needs of the camp, because we're part of the ministry here at camp. Praise God. But you know, there's something very special when the Lord sees, well, I've got, you know, an hour off. Maybe I can take 10 minutes of that hour to just get alone with Jesus. Not because I have to, not because I'm forced to, but just because I want to and I need to. You think that he notices that? Do you think that's precious to him? Do you think he responds to that? I think I'm sure he does. At our staff meeting down in the city, I had mentioned that Brother Tom had discovered some WMDs at Pilgrim Camp. Weapons of mass distraction. And that there are a lot of distractions that keep us from receiving all that Jesus wants us to receive. I'm glad that, you know, we're being careful with our cell phones. I've noticed that. Other times I've been up here and young people have been on their cell phones quite a bit, earplugs in their ears. You have no idea what they're listening to, but by the tapping of their foot, you know that it's probably some music or something. But I'm glad that we're being careful about that. That we're trying to lay aside some things that are so much a part of our lives at home, and just dedicate ourselves and our time to focus on the Lord and concentrate on Him. It really will pay off. It really does. And nobody can do these things for you. These are decisions you have to make. But I just encourage you, make those decisions. Choose to be here for Him. Choose to seek Him more. And make those personal choices, efforts to draw near to Jesus. And I'm sure He'll surprise you that He has more for you than you even imagined. Praise God. Let's pray for our camp today. Again, for our young people. I don't think there are too many places in the world that are prayed for as much in the summer as Pilgrim Camp, right? Not only is there much prayer for the camp here on the grounds, but in all of our fellowship churches, I know we're praying for camp. And I know that there are people really all over the world that are praying for camp because they want God to be glorified. And so let's claim the answers to those prayers and let's add to them this morning. And so let's look to Him yet, as before we go on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Savior. Hallelujah. Sister Diane, would you pray with us, please, for the needs of the camp? Thank you.
Dear Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we are in the family of God and that we are your children, all of us, all over this camp and in the churches at home. And we pray that we will unite as a family and pray for the needs in our camp and around us, Lord Jesus. And we know that you can do these things. There are many unspoken needs, needs that we don't hear of. But you know them, Lord, and I know that you hear them and will provide the answers to these very many needs as a father to your children, Lord. And we ask this all in your name, and we thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Let's also sing another song, Jesus Calls Us. It's so nice when someone comes in, they finish up their responsibilities and they get into the meeting. I know that we can't all be here at the same moment, and so people filter in here and there. It's sort of like my Sunday school class in Canarsie. I start with two people, and then a few minutes later, someone else walks in, and so I recap, you know. Okay, so there was Adam. We're talking this morning about Adam, and the Lord said it was not good for man to be alone, so He gave him Eve. And then 2 minutes later, someone else walks in, and so I want to recap. So I say, you know, we're talking about Adam. Welcome. God saw it wasn't good for him to be alone, so He gave him Eve. And 10 minutes later, we're talking about Adam. And by the time I'm done, they're convinced that Adam was a Mormon. He's got three wives at least. And so it's always better if you tell the person what page we're on, so I don't have to keep repeating it. And that's to help you remember. Okay, what is that?
357.
Thank you. 357, yes. Precious call Jesus has over all of our lives.